Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
Like I said, while I see the moving of the election trial balloon by Trump as just a way to suck some of the oxygen out of the air in the news cycle around John Lewis's eulogy and funeral, it did not get lost on at least one guy that I think kind of shocking. Stephen Calabrese, he is the co-founder of the Federalist Society. You know the people behind all the really bad Supreme Court justices? He came out with a statement today saying that he's voted for every Republican presidential candidate since 1980, including voting for Trump in 2016. He says he's done all this stuff, wrote op-eds. He's been there. He's been their guy. And he said, look, you know, frankly, he said, I'm frankly appalled by the president's recent tweet seeking to postpone the November election. Until recently, I had taken as political hyperbole the Democrats' assertion that President Trump is a fascist. But this latest tweet is fascistic and is itself grounds for the president's immediate impeachment. This is the guy who is the co-founder of the Federalist Society. Let that sink in. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on the news of the day, I have asked, just crazy to me, I've asked Max Burns to come talk with us. Max is a Democratic strategist, also a columnist over at the Daily Beast. You can see his work also at the Independent. He does fantastic work. Max, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So I got to tell you, this is I saw it as a trial balloon, something to take the air out of the day. But this statement by Calabrese to me is wow.
And this is a great sign that, you know, for the president is really in trouble with some members of what you would call, I suppose, the elite of his base, the people who are giving the marching orders to the rank and file Republicans. The fact that they're losing enthusiasm for Trump and doing so publicly, which is.
No, it's amazing. I mean, I'm literally shocked by this guy's statement that he came out and said this. And you're right. The fact that they have come out and have seriously questioned what's going on. And I'm with you, Max. So how do you see this playing?
I'm sorry, I lost you for a second there. I didn't get the first half of your question.
Well, I mean, the fact that Calabrese has come out, the fact that you've got other Republicans who are speaking out, to me, this is a sign that they've lost faith in Trump and they've kind of given up on this election cycle, considering that they've gone home in the Senate and left all of their work undone.
And anytime you see public criticism of Donald Trump from inside the Republican Party is kind of exceptional. It's not really a cult that encourages open criticism and introspection. But at the same time, I'm old enough to remember 2016 when after the Access Hollywood video came out, a lot of Republicans jumped ship from Trump, called for him to drop out. But come Election Day, when it became clear he had a chance, they lined up and voted for him just the same.
No, you're absolutely right. But, you know, for me, to see the guy who is the co-founder of the Federalist Society, that's a pretty big, in my view, a pretty big rat jumping off the ship.
It absolutely is. I mean, as you pointed out, there are multiple Federalist Society-endorsed Supreme Court justices that Donald Trump has put forward. They've largely served as a vetting service for a lot of his unqualified appointees in the cabinet. And to have them attacking Donald Trump really removes another leg of his grassroots strategy at a time when he doesn't have a whole lot left to lose.
Yeah, there's nothing left, especially when you look at the only card he had left was how wonderful the economy was doing. And yet we see today the report out that the largest contraction in the history of the country happened under his watch.
And it was remarkable to see his press conference this afternoon, among other things. He said he's done things that no one has ever seen before with the economy. And I believe that to be literally true. No one has seen him do anything about the economic problems. We have 30 million Americans out of work, and so far the only clear policy solution he's put forward is to cut their unemployment from 600 a week to 200.
But he did say today that he was thinking about, you know, going, you know, more than 1,200, so, you know, we could get some Trump checks.
And this is the thing about Republicans, is they delight in making regular Americans beg. We saw them make the 9/11 first responders beg for basic health care. We've seen them make the families of gun violence victims beg for basic gun control, and now they're making 30 million Americans beg for the unemployment checks to keep their kids fed and a roof over their heads. It's really a disturbing look at how far the party's fallen.
Yeah, but, you know, and this is where I might disagree with you a little bit. This is who they've been. I mean, you know, because we lived through the Obama years. We, you know, I saw every weekend there being like the debt ceiling fights that took us to the abyss of collapse, just so they could get their pound of flesh. This is who they've been. So I'm a little less likely to say that, you know, they've fallen. I'm of the mindset this is who the Republican Party has been, and Donald Trump is just a manifestation of how horrible they've been over the last 20 years.
And I think you're right. I think if anything, I would revise my thought to say that the mask has really come off. Before, they used to hide behind saying, well, we... and now all they're saying is, we're not going to give you the support because you didn't vote for us. So if anything has changed, it's really that they're just being blunt and honest with people for the first time in decades.
Yeah. No, you're right. So were you surprised today that McConnell, you know, adjourned and we're going to take a long weekend? Were you surprised by this?
I think it's just typical Mitch McConnell. He plays games with things that mean food on the table for regular Americans. If his goal is to put pressure on Democrats, maybe to compromise and accept a worse deal, he's completely underestimated the mood in the country. And if he and other Republicans spent more time talking to working class people, they'd see that this is not a game to them.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Max. You know, the Democrats have given Trump every opportunity to take the win on saving the economy, on saving us from the virus. They have given him anything he wants. He wanted $500 billion slush fund to hand out to his corporate buddies. Bang, you got it. You know, he wanted all of this stuff. They've said, here, take as much as you want. The purse is open. Go. And they can't seem to take a win.
And we've been burned every time we've compromised. I think, as you point out, if we give an inch, they ask for a tax cut. If we get the tax cut, they ask for another tax cut, and there's no end to this. So I applaud Democrats now for finally sort of standing up and saying there are some things we won't negotiate on, and the ability of Americans to feed their kids is one of them.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. I want to go back to the idea that Trump thought he had the ability to move the election. Clearly, he doesn't have that authority.
Absolutely not. This is clear law that even Republicans have said is firm. It's in the Constitution. Congress has the power to set dates of elections. States oversee elections. But what's frightening here is that Donald Trump has a record of ignoring Supreme Court orders, of ignoring laws that he doesn't like. And even if Congress or courts say he can't do it, we need a plan to stop him in the event he tries.
Right. No, this is one of those things where, you know, I've been saying for a while, I fully expect there to be some shenanigans. And I think any thoughtful, reasonable thinking person who has seen this administration in action would have the same kind of fears. And, you know, I had asked John Bolton when I had him here on the program if he thought that, you know, Trump would leave if the election. He said, well, I hadn't heard any of this stuff. I'm going, then you must not be listening, because I've been saying it. And here you got today him coming out with it.
And this is really just a fascinating story in that you see how few Republicans have actually spoken out against this, how many have still even this evening said they haven't looked at the tweet. And let's be honest, everybody's seen the tweet.
Yep.
Everybody knows exactly what the president said. And if they didn't hear it earlier, he made it clear at the press conference. And what we need now is to get governors in red and blue states to commit in writing publicly that they will honor the election day, regardless of what President Trump tries to pressure them to do.
You brought up the press conference. You know, it's one of these. I watched some of it. I didn't get to watch all of it. I was spending my time watching President Obama's eulogy, which, you know, I got to tell you, on this day, looking at the gulf between Trump and Obama and the country that we were and the country that we are, you know, I weep for where we are. But you look at that press conference and it was just a giant, to use Trump's word, giant S show.
And it was lying at a pace that we've rarely seen from Trump. Really, when his back is to the wall, we get these press conferences where we just rewrite reality. In Trump's reality, it's Republicans who are working to secure the unemployment benefit for millions of Americans, when in fact it's House Democrats who pushed a bill forward that Mitch McConnell refuses to even put on the floor. We've seen him take credit for an economy that is in collapse. This is quite frankly just a world that does not bear any resemblance to the one you and I and millions of people live in.
Yeah, and here we are in the middle of a global pandemic. So all of this other stuff is going on, and yet we've got over 150,000 Americans dead, more on the way as a lot of southern states are spiking. And we also have this, and you've written a piece on it today over at the Daily Beast, about the Russians' disinformation campaign that's just ripping us to shreds.
Yeah, everything that's old is new again. The U.S. intelligence community confirmed this week that Russian agents and intelligence operatives are trying to spread COVID misinformation to hurt Americans, to cause dissent and disagreement. And it sounds a lot like what happened in 2016 because it's almost identical. And the reason that worked again is because under President Trump, we've invested nothing in data security, in election security, in information security. We're just as vulnerable now, but they've had a four-year head start to get better.
And, you know, you look at the testimony from Billy Barr the other day. He admitted in 2016 they interfered in the election, and you know, they're probably going to do it again very flippantly. And he's our top cop. He's the guy who's supposed to help keep us safe.
And this is someone who has said in candid conversations with people like the Federalist Society and as people like Jim Jordan said in the tech hearing this week, that there's no business regulating any speech on the Internet, whether it's a propaganda campaign or not. And that's just an alarmingly cynical view for someone charged with protecting us from the influence of foreign countries.
So, but what do you say to that argument that, well, you know, it's free speech. Everybody should be able to say what they want. And if you're dumb enough gullible enough to buy it, well, shame on you.
I think Republicans talk a big game about free speech, but they have awful soft skins about it when they're being criticized. What Republicans are looking for isn't free speech. It's speech free from the consequences of saying things that are either proven lies or hate speech or enabling white supremacists. They're upset that people are finally calling them out on this. No one's stopping them from saying it, as you can turn on the TV on Fox and see just about every day.
Yeah. No, I don't watch Fox anymore because it is. I mean, it's all propaganda, all bad, all the time, in my view. You know, I do read some of their stuff to try and, you know, keep up, but it's just an onslaught of misinformation. And as I say about some of my Fox friends, they're really overly misinformed, but they seem to know a lot.
And we have opinions on everything. Unfortunately, none of it actually resembles the situation we're in. And I mean, the bottom line of what's happening with Russia and with this COVID misinformation is that this is what an absence of leadership looks like. We have positions in the Defense Department that are vacant, dealing with cybersecurity, information security, counter-propaganda. If this was a priority to the president, if he really wanted to protect us, don't you think those would be day one positions you'd want to fill?
Yeah, and we haven't even talked about who I think the bigger threat is, and that's China. We haven't done anything on that front, and we know that the Chinese are filling the vacuum left by us in the international community because of Trump's isolationism and because, you know, we're beating up on our allies. We're a much less safe country, I believe, because of how he's handled things.
And China's also actively engaging in cyber espionage and corporate espionage. You look at apps like TikTok that the Defense Department and the military have banned for potentially harvesting U.S. information and moving it overseas to do Lord knows what with. The only times we've seen President Trump fight with China are when they bruise his ego. And the only people who've really suffered in that war are American farmers and industry that suffered under that trade war that he launched for half a year.
And look, I'll be honest with you. I'm in favor of you got to take China on the trade issue. You've got to do it. But what he did was just flat out dumb. This is something that has to be done internationally. You've got to have all your allies on board. You've got to pull them into the international community and hold them accountable. This go it alone strategy has really screwed us. And you're right. Our farmers got hurt because he didn't have a plan. He didn't have a way of actually moving this forward other than his gut and his ego, which have not gotten us very far.
And it's led to America never looking weaker on the world stage. We have precious few allies. There are allied governments now that don't share intelligence with us that they used to under past Democratic and Republican presidents, because they simply can't trust that that information will stay secure in the U.S. Yeah. That's a devastating thing to say about a country that used to be a beacon of liberty for the world.
Yeah, it's scary times. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're with Max Burns, Democratic strategist and columnist over at The Daily Beast. He also does some great work over at The Business Insider, The Independent, and also NBC News Now. You can check out his stuff there. Let me flip this a little bit. You know, as a Democratic strategist, as someone who's advising people on how we move forward, because, look, it's one thing to point out all the flaws that Donald Trump has, and there are many. We could spend days on it, and all the horrible things that he's done. There's a lot of cleaning up that's going to have to happen. We're on the edge of looking into potentially a depression if we don't handle the next several months right, which I don't think this administration will. So this is going to fall on to if Joe Biden wins and if we don't have some kind of weird kind of coup situation, there's a lot of work to be done next year.
It's a lot to put on the shoulders of any administration. I think you're looking not just at rebuilding America economically, in more than likely taking control of this coronavirus disaster and turning it around, but also reestablishing the United States on the world stage and rebuilding credibility in a place where it's really difficult to. And that's one of the reasons I'm so excited to have Joe Biden as our nominee, is he comes with established credibility with world leaders, with governments. People know that they can trust Joe Biden, which is sadly not a situation we're in now as a country.
I'm right there with you. Any thoughts? Last question I've got for you. Any thoughts on President Obama's eulogy today? Did you get to check that out at all?
I listened to all of it. I thought it was beautiful. It's a shame we no longer have someone who can bring people together like that. But that was John Lewis's true gift, is he brought Democrats and Republicans, people who disagreed with him, people who were on the fence, together. And he moved them forward for change. And I think that's the best thing we can all try to do to elevate his great work.
Yeah, he was a great man. I was fortunate to have met him. Just an incredible day. But Max, I appreciate the time and the work that you do. I hope you come back and share some more thoughts with us in the future.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Good stuff. Max Burns, Democratic strategist, Daily Beast columnist. Check out his work. We'll get links out on how you can do that. Quick break, right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.